Go wild with Nation Gear's end of regular season merch madness sale. Nation Gear is offering our favorite fans 20% off all regular season merch, and we're going to give you free shipping on any orders over $200. Stock up your closet for the playoffs, rep your team, and grab that merch you've been eyeing up all season long. Don't wait. This sale only lasts from April 1st until April 7th. Shop the sale at nationgear.ca.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What's happening, Nast?
What's up, Rigorilla? Besides the fact that you're probably well rested since you took another game off, but we can talk about that later.
Still recovering from the Warriors game.
I know.
Can't do back to backs at this age, man. Are you kidding me?
Your age?
Wow.
Dude. You're
same age as me, are you?
Well, yeah, I guess that's true. So, anyway, what a weekend, man. And we're fortunate enough to get invited to play the Warriors, the Flyers Warriors.
Yeah. Appreciate that.
We appreciate it so much. Love those guys, man. They actually all tiers played 1, 2, and 3. And we were the last game. We got to play in the center, which was really cool. And I think a lot of mental things went into us feeling tired. Either the rink's double the size, but even all the guys on our team were like, I'm dead. I was gassed. I know. You took too many shots. I'm coming on after you, and you're taking short shifts. Fuck.
High intensity shifts, Nast. And then you gotta drain the tank and get off the ice and get back out there.
You're just not used to that much ice time.
No, I'm definitely not. Up and down the ice.
That's a lot, man.
Twice, and I'm done. That's it.
All the boys were saying that. But anyway, it was so much fun to get to do that. And those guys are awesome. We were fortunate enough to win the game.
Yeah.
But I guess we're going to be having a rematch. Coach Brad Marsh and the boys said rematch right away. So
let's do it.
They're going to be hungry. They're coming after us because they have the big tournament coming up.
Yeah.
In November. So just to have some extra games, but we got to thank a lot of people, mainly the Warriors, obviously.
Yep.
Jacqueline, our marketing young lady, Red, we call her. She's amazing. She did a lot of cool things for us. Vincent Jets, Mike Oti, Toby, with your little backhand
saucer. Oh, a couple boy. Of those. Hey, a couple oh. apples of sauce
yeah,
passes.
Yeah, you had a couple. I had 0 points. Tenor shut me down. Gosh.
Were you
I thought I had one. I was not Dash. I was not a Dash. No,
7-2 teller.
I thought I had a screaming empty net, and I shot it, and Tenor slid his stick over, made a heck of a save.
No, I remember that, yeah.
Also, Alpha Brew.
Yep.
Caitlin from Blade Shades coming over and hanging out. Flyers Nation, of course.
Yep.
And got to thank the baller, Travis Ballenhoff, and Chris Mayer as well. Took some photos and was covering the game. So hopefully we didn't forget anybody. All of our teammates for coming. And it was so much fun.
It was a good time. Yep. Nothing quite like being around the rink, especially in the bright lights and around the Warrior boys.
That was fun. Those guys are great.
It was a good
time. That Devin, he ducked you.
He's lining up on the other side of the face-off.
I saw him. He was supposed to be with you. And then he slashes my Toby, my stick.
Oh,
and
you can't mess with the Toby.
Well, I was waiting for you to do something about it.
I didn't see it. No, next game.
Well, you were over there with the oxygen on.
Well, I was gassed. But even though we were up with 6-1 or 6-2 at the time, I looked over at their bench and said, this would be the time that you'd try and do something.
You thought Deb was coming.
I thought Deb was coming, but.
I thought Mainz was coming after you.
Oh, he was chirping at the end there, but all bark, no bite. We know.
All bark, no bite. That's right. But seriously, we had a great time. We appreciate those guys so much. They're true warriors.
Yeah, no doubt.
They really are. They're just awesome. Awesome guys, man. So much fun.
Yeah. Till next time on that one.
That's
looking forward to that. And then, just prepping the ice, right? I mean, big game tonight, big preseason game, first one of the year. So we're just chewing up the ice a little bit to harden it for the big boys. And they're getting after it tonight. So it'll be interesting to see how that rocks and rolls.
Exactly. Hopefully they're moving a little bit quicker than we were.
Oh, yeah. I hope so, too.
I think they will be.
Probably higher execution, I would think.
A little bit. But it's
probably won't nice. See, you probably won't see any backhand sauce passes with Toby, though.
not yet.
Not yet.
We're going to get it there, though. We're going to get to Toby Sticks. They'll be there soon. They're that good. So it'd be interesting to see tonight. Preseason game, and I'm jacked. Just hockey's back because I'm a nerd and I watch it.
Yeah.
What it is. I'll watch every game that's on, but be exciting to see that. I'm not sure what the lineup was. I don't even know if they put it out there. It's not like preseason. Well, I know the teams have to give each other the lineup.
I'm sure they put it out there, but I mean,
yeah, you have to have a certain amount of veterans in the lineup. So, be interesting to see who does play.
Yep.
So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. It's the start of the season, you know, we're finally out of the camp and into the preseason, and next thing you know, we'll be in the regular season. So good time of the year and good time of the season. So,
all right.
And let's listen in to our buddy Mike Knuble.
22 and number 9.
Number 9. That's hilarious.
A few games.
Yeah.
I remember that. I just felt it was weird. Like, God, can you give him number 9?
Yeah. Crazy. I was thinking 22, the big 22.
Yep.
All right. Listen up.
Let's do it.
Welcome back to another episode of Nasty Knuckles. I'm Riley Cote.
And I'm Derek Settlemyer. And this week, we are so lucky and happy to have one of our good buddies. Number 22, formerly of the Flyers and a few other teams, and we're just going to say Flyers, Mr. Mike Knuble. What's up, noobs?
How are you guys today? You said number 22, but then I came in for that little
short. Number 9, right? I know. We talked about that. That's right. I'm going with 22. You wore that for way more games. So.
My most productive years, yeah.
Yes, that's right, man. You had 114 goals wearing number 22. I know that.
All right. Well, I tell you, I'm mad. I should have had 115 or 16. I want more.
Oh, man. How you doing, brother?
I'm great, buddy. We're just living life out here in West Michigan and Grand Rapids and kind of getting ramped up for another hockey season and happy to have all the fans back and everybody going. I work a little bit with the Griffins, the pro team here in Grand Rapids, much like the Phantoms, same level as the Phantoms, but for the Detroit Red Wings. So, and kind of doing that, and I think we're all excited to get that going and training camp going again and get things like every other NHL person and fan is looking forward to get things going again.
Yeah,
I hear you, man. The Flyers have their first preseason game tonight, so there's already a buzz, you know, since camp started, because it's finally, like you said, it's almost back to normal. Not probably where we exactly want it, but basically back to normal. So You're a pretty busy man. I know you got an empty household, which makes me feel really old just from knowing the kids when you played here. And I you're getting old, bro. Like, you're getting old. But tell us what's going on with the kids, man.
No, I just, so you touched on it. Yeah. So we got kids like, and they used to run around the room and, you know, Coach, you were playing with us and we were all playing together and, you know, and you guys are always so good to them and you're running around and these kids, they're little babies. Right. And, you know, you can think of a number of guys you've had on your broadcast or your podcast here, like had their little Rugrats running around and now they're off in college and then some are playing hockey in college and higher levels. Crazy. Some are turning pro. It's pretty amazing to see. So yeah. My oldest Cam already, he's just turned 21, man. We had a 21-year-old party at basically a frat party in our backyard. I was like, oh my God, good thing you only turned 21 once.
You didn't turn the tank, did you?
The tank came out.
I was like working it, so I had to be kind of together a little bit. But,
you were responsible. You had to be
responsible one. Yeah. Together, but. Yeah, he's a 20-year-old playing at Western Michigan and enjoying life there. My daughter is a 19-year-old at Michigan State, being in sorority and enjoying life there. And those guys are getting their college things all back to normal. It's a little more work for them in the classroom now, but they get the extra, you know, those football Saturdays and the buzz on campus, which is great. And then my young guy, Cole, who's 17, is off in Fargo, North Dakota, playing in the USHL. So all of a sudden, the kids are all over the country, and it's I guess that's life and the way it goes. And yeah, I'm still in my 40s too. Nasty.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Oh, way to rub it in, dude. Jeez, man.
But yeah, he's still in his 30s. So
yeah, right. And I got a 7-year-old just turned 7, buzzing around. So I got a few years. Hopefully, I make it.
Yeah, that's right. See right. Yeah. Hey, you just try to get him to 8, and then you're gonna get to 8.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Oh, keep him moving forward. Keep him alive.
I think he's aging me for sure. Yeah, this little guy, more than my daughters. Yeah, that's right.
Hey, Noobs, I was going to ask you, how active are you with the Griffins and what is your job exactly?
Yeah, I know. It kind of started like way back. Like, you know, I finished with Philly in 2013, that short season, and then kind of get back to Michigan. You're like, all right, what am I going to do? There's so much to do. And then you're like, what am I going to do here? You know, But no, like even before that, like the lead up to come to Philly, my plan was to play in Grand Rapids, you know, and then and just kind of play as a 40-year-old. I want to get that last little time. And then Scotty Hartnell broke his foot, I think, early in the season. And Homer called me. I signed with the Griffins on Monday, played on Wednesday. Wednesday night, Homer was calling. So that's kind of – and then Thursday I was on a – or Friday morning I was on a flight out to Philly to join the team, which was great. Kind of ever since that, and then Jeff Blasho is the head coach of the Red Wings now, is coaching Grand Rapids, and kind of let me skate during that lockout period, and then kind of phased me in and said, hey, if you want to come and hang out and kind of sit in the office and learn, and you know, we'll put you on the bench and all that stuff. I was like, okay. So kind of doing that in combination with my I kind of chose a path instead of really going full-time into hockey, like going part-time, and the Red Wings were great about working with me and let me do that, and the coaches at Grand Rapids, and I kind of chose a path to coach my sons and be around. Yeah. We will take them to Detroit and Chicago and all over the place. So it's been a nice little synergy. So I just kind of kept doing it and always with that thing. Like I like my flexibility so that I could take the boys trips and that. And so just like a third assistant, part-time assistant come in. Just we have so much fun in there. It's just like getting the guys together, you know. And when it's hockey time and it's practice time, it's serious. But the rest of the time is a lot of fun. And I mean, the coaches work really hard, and coach, you know, you've been in there, you know, but you got to have fun when you're grinding out. And if it's miserable and you got miserable people around you, it's no good. So it's been great. Kind of, you know, you push pucks, the team goes out of town, somebody's left behind injured, you know, they used to be on their own, and here I am, I can stay behind and help them out and whatever they need, warm up goalies, you know, it's kind of whatever needs to get done, you know. And I always pick one trip a year. I go out to, you know, when they go to San Diego, I'll go on that.
There you go, right? Pick the right ones.
I can see Noobs the way he shot the puck too. He's probably just bar Mexico, everything on these goalies trying to warm. You're killing their confidence, Noobs.
But they're good, man. These kids are good. Like it's hard. More of my pucks tend to hit the logo now, you know, instead of hitting
the corner. Oh, man.
Yeah, he ain't as good as he once was, right?
I stopped Noobs all day today. How good was this guy? That's awesome. You know what's cool about that, Noobs, is like you still get that time around the rink with the guys. Like it's so important that you're able to do this with your boys, because I'm doing it now. Yeah. And I mean, I can't imagine now that I've been able to do this. I do miss the game, obviously, being around, but that's what I really miss more than anything now. And I obviously never played. I was just a, you know, pigeon equipment guy, but That's what I miss the most, sitting around having the coffees and my guys coming into the office shooting the shit. You get to still do that, man. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that's part of it, you know, and it's just being around the game, and it's good to stay relevant. If I do want to do a little bit more, I've had my foot in the door, and I'm up on like the terminology and how the game's played and stuff like that, and players and that. But to your point, Nasty, like, you know, just it's the rhythm of the team, and, you know, the sitting in the rink and, like you say, having a coffee and seeing and just being around the team day to day. You know, we get these kids that are pretty young, and some are you know, on their way up. They're the first and second rounders. They're on their way up. And then there's some that are vets who have played in Grand Rapids a long time and extending their careers. And some are trying to find a way. They're never, you know, it's their first chance to try and stick in the league, and they're trying to find their way. So you see a little bit of everything, and you just try and do your best to relate to them and have fun with them. And, you know, like, show them it's, you know, there's a lot of work in being a pro, but, you know, it has to be fun for you too. You have to enjoy what you're doing. And you know, even though we're getting old, we're still really a young group at heart, you know, and
right
in the room. And you got to keep that stuff lively and have some fun. And
it's the truth. Yeah,
we've been lucky. We've won a lot. We won a championship, but it's,
yeah,
you know,
it's
a lot of work, and it's fun, but it's great. It's like 3 miles from the house. Gets me out of the house.
Oh, God, that's perfect.
Perfect setup.
It is. It's really nice. You know, I'm downtown in 15 minutes, and it's good. So, and they treat the guys really good, man. It's the minors, but Coach, I don't know. You know, at Lehigh Valley, I'm sure, you know, they spent some money, but they treat these guys pretty good. And it's way different than American League that
used to be.
We played, man. And it's, you know, Riley, when you came up, and
oh, yeah,
just the way the teams are constructed now, just that whole league is different, man. It's used to be a little bit of a jungle down there. And now it's like real, much more real hockey.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lehigh Valley was certainly a lot different than we were up in Adirondack there, and even back when I played. But yeah, I would say like Lehigh Valley is probably similar to you guys there, a little more of a luxury AHL team,
if
you will. But yeah, Adirondack wasn't quite the same when I was there coaching, and probably not when back when you played there.
Oh, that's where I played too. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
right.
So I know, buddy. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
That town, yeah.
Yeah. You still getting to the rink early? They're banging out the crosswords there. Your coffee and
crosswords. You know what? I got lazy about that, but then
too much work.
Like, if we go on the road and do them, but yeah, no. To answer your question, I know, right? That was just part of your routine. You're making me sound even older than Coach.
Yeah, the glasses.
Get my slippers on and do the crossword, right? Yeah, you know what? It's funny you say that, Coach. Like, I haven't probably touched wood in years. I mean, maybe that time I got a plane, I'm like, oh, okay, here we go. You know, the back of that magazine. Now they're getting rid of the magazine. You can't see it, but that's funny you said that. But yeah, you're making me sound.
I remember you were early birds there at the rink, and you always had your crossword and your coffee. And
yeah.
Got to work.
Creature of habits, right?
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah,
that's true.
Talk about how different the coaching of the game has evolved into versus kind of when you come in. You played for some old school coaches. Almost before they even started bringing video into the game and really
Scotty
coaching
Bowman.
I started with Scotty Bowman, you know, and then moved on to New York. It was John Muckler. I mean, these are all guys that moved into Boston. It was like Pat Burns and
Keenan,
you know, and Robbie Fatorik. And so it was kind of that old. Yeah, there were some really interesting names in there. And so, it's, you know, there's just so much at their fingertips now as far as the video, so easy to get around. And like you talked about, Coach, like the work they had to do and pop in a VHS tape and edit that up. And it's just kind of painful. And they didn't have all this video at your fingertips, which can be good and can be bad. It's sometimes to not have so much video. But yeah, I know coming in with coaches, I mean, I think they're a little bit, they were gruffer. It was kind of my way or the highway type thing a little bit, you know. But, you know, the coaching has evolved so much where you're much more almost like just more of a guider. It's not like you're crappy. You're not like over top of guys. And it's like, you know, trying to be that,
fear them into
that authority figure on all the time, you know, now, you know, and you can see it's, there's a lot more guiding and guidance, and you got to be wary of you know, in tune to feelings and kind of how guys are doing and why they were players these days want to know why they've come up with video. And obviously they're on Instagram all the time. They see highlights. There's so much video in their lives. They're so ready to see it and used to seeing it. And so, you know, it's great because, you know, when you play, Coach, and I'm sure you like, you're thinking about 12 things on the ice, and then the coaches are off the ice. They can see what you're doing, and you're like, well, why did you do this? You're like, oh, man, I was thinking about 10 other things. I don't even know why I did that, but, you know, or why were you over here? I'm like, I don't know, man. I just ended up over here.
Yeah, right.
Just, you know, I'm thinking about 8 other things. Like, where am I, you know? And so, you know, it's good to go back with those guys because sometimes they don't even realize what they're doing, and it's good. And it's a teaching thing, and especially at the American League level, you know, you're trying to – and in Detroit too, like they've had so many draft picks. So you're trying to see how many guys that you can push up to the top of the ladder. And so that the Red Wings, the big club, can pick who they need out of there and who's really going to grab a spot up there. So it's certainly challenging in that respect, but yeah, you've got to have great relationships with guys. They have to be able to trust you these days. And,
yeah.
And there's times where you have to speak frankly to them and lay it, you know, kind of tell them how it is. And other times you just keep reinforcing your ideas and you've got to pat them on the back and send them out the door. And that's part of the job at that younger level is it's not always about winning and losing. It's about, you know, trying to advance the player, make sure that he's a better player than he was in September in December. And then that player in December, the player in April has got to be better than the guy in December. And so you're just trying to keep pushing them up and do that. And so it's a tough ladder and it's a weeding out process. Everybody knows that, but it is what it is, but it's you've got to be a lot more give and take too. You have a lot more conversations about things.
Yeah, right. The communication level is so much higher.
Yep. And they expect that these days. And the games evolve. You see it NFL sidelines, you see it everywhere, man. There's a lot of back and forth and players have a say in things and they're the ones playing, right?
You know, they
say, well, you know, I saw this and that's okay, you know, just keep trying to reinforce and clean it all up and try and create the best team you can while making them better individuals, you know.
Noobs, that's a great point too. And I have to looking at all the coaches you did play for. Who was the I don't want to say meanest, but like who was the hardest? Like that you're like, holy cow! Like this guy, if I piss him off, I'm done. Like I'm sitting, or was loudest, or anything like that.
Yeah,
You played for some really good coaches.
Yeah. It'd be the old guys. I forgot about Hitch in there in Philly. You know, like I was trying to think of the coaches there, but you know, I thought coming in, I think the one you're probably most scared of. So I got traded from New York to Boston, right? It was at the end of the year, and I got traded for Robbie DiMaio and came in there. And so you come into Boston, it's Pat Burns, right? And you see all his ears in Toronto. You know, he's this old cop. And he's kind of, you're like walking in, you're kind of looking around, you're kind of getting a general feel. You're looking at the younger guys, you know, the guys that your peers, you know, kind of they have a young group at that time. They're kind of getting picked apart. Like Ray Bourque just got traded to Colorado for Brian Ralston. And so Boston's in this big, Joe Thornton's like a second year guy. Like it's just this big turnover in there. And you're looking around and you feel like this, he's just going to be this rough guy. And I thought he was for a young group who was out of the playoffs. I thought he was awesome. He was hilarious. He was very like just going, you know, just chirping guys left and right. Sean Bates was a guy that he was all over all the time. Bates, he'd give it back. It was good stuff for being at the end of the year, you know? And then, so they let Pat Burns go. The next following year, I think we were 0-8 or I don't know, 1-2-6 or something. And 8 games in and they let Pat go and then brought in Mike Keenan. So it was just like one huge personality to another. And Mike Keenan comes in and you're like, oh boy, here we go. You know? So, you know, it was like just coming in and the testing and the VO2 testing and the you know just the just trying to get guys going and get them wound up any way you could and we had some real tough guys on that team and they were fighting. I mean I think we fought probably 10 games a row in the first 5 seconds of the game and just getting guys going like they had me like scared out of my mind, you know, and I'm going to fight it right here trying to grab guys and stuff. And it's just, he had guys going, you know, and it was really interesting. You know,
My dad worked under Keenan, you know, when he was in Philadelphia.
Yeah, right.
And,
right.
I know a lot of the guys still keep in touch with the older guys that played in that time. And they don't have a whole lot of nice things to say most of the time. But even I remember being a kid, I thought Mike was great. And now looking back, I tell the players I actually hated him, you know, because of the shit that was going on. And I would overhear my dad, like say you're in my room talking to me. If I had my kid, you know, they're hearing what we're saying, but I just remember a lot of things that the players were saying and this and that, you know, they would just give it to the guy, but he got them going, man. He took that one team, you know, we played golf yesterday with our buddy Justin, and he's trying to get this documentary out, and it's about that young team and how Keenan, I mean, they I don't want to say they're a bunch of nobodies, but they kind of were at the time. I mean, looking back, but our buddy Donnie Del Negro, he had some tough times with Uncle Mikey. Yeah, I know. He told me a couple of the stories, and I said, my dad told me the same thing. I mean, I said, I've heard this, but I called him Uncle Mikey. I loved him. He was so nice to me. Like, so I'm like, oh, Uncle Mikey, blah, blah, blah. And the guys are kind of looking at me and then looking at my dad going, what the fuck is he saying? Like, yeah. You know, no one even wanted to talk to him. Yeah. I remember the late Ilka Sinisalo. He was like the one guy that would stand up to Keenan, and it just wouldn't take anything and chirp him back. So I don't know if I ever said this on the air, Riles, but we've been talking, but one of the funniest things ever, my dad was telling me, and me and Ilka and my dad used to play golf a lot in the summers because he lived, he would stay here in the summer. And he says, he benched Ilka for something. And so Ilka's just sitting there, nothing really bothered him. You know, he was a pretty even keel guy, and game's tied late in the third, and he hasn't played Ilka for like 15 minutes, right? So he's just cold. He's just sitting there, and so he grabs a hold. You know, he was one of those guys grabbing the players. He's like, you think you could score a goal, Sinisalo? And Ilka goes, pretty hard from here, Mike. You know, and the whole bench is like, you know, like, and he goes, go get the fuck out there then, you know, like, but anyway, I've heard a lot of stories. So I'm not talking bad about Mike at all, but it's just funny the stories you hear from trainers and players.
Yeah, there was, you know, and as a young player, there you hear like some of those pushbacks, and nobody was safe, right? It didn't matter if you were a medical or equipment guy or whatever, you were, you know, you never know when it came. And you hear those stories of pushback, you know, and yeah. You can, you know, and it's, you know, I was a young guy, wasn't my place, but, you know, there were other guys, you know, like Brett Hall, and, you know, I mean, there were guys that were like, you know, they loved to go back and forth with him, and then, you know, it never, and I just wasn't in a spot. In hindsight, it'd be like, that's what you have to do, you know, right. That would be what you have to do, but, you know, he would do, you know, like, he would do some fun. I mean, you know, you hear that story about Alexei Kovalev when they were in New York and Kobe started taking a long shift. Maybe he's approaching a minute and a half from get off. And Mike told him to stay out there.
Yeah.
I mean, he's, you know, that's just great too. There's some funny stuff like that. He ends up out there for 5 minutes straight. No, you're staying. You're good. Yeah. I'm like, just go, you know? So, I mean, stuff like that. And it's been so long. I mean, it's been almost like 20 years. I mean, you're talking 2001. It's like,
yeah, right.
You know, some of that stuff. I swear he had fans just blowing in the room, you know, fans to move air around the room between periods. I swear they were there just so he could kick them to make a point and all that. You know, any water cooler, you know, was going to get turned over at some point. And you're just kind of waiting to see what's going to happen. But, you know, it was, you know, again, you're trying to learn from these guys and you try and figure out how to make yourself better. And I think if you learn something from them, it's like, hey, I got to be really on edge when I play and I have to be ready to go and I can't move slowly into games and see how the game's going to go before I decide to play. It's like, I got to be going right from the start. And especially as a young player, you knew, like, if I wasn't on my toes and I didn't try and get two or three hits into my first three shifts, like, I wasn't going to play much that day. So,
right.
You know, I guess you learn that a little bit too, but you were definitely like a my way or the highway. You scare guys into like, I'll send you back to the farm type
thing. Yeah. Right.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. I heard a lot of that. Yeah.
So, which is fine. That's coaching back then, but again, that doesn't, it won't go very far anymore.
You might get tears out of guys these days.
Oh, yeah.
You try that.
Yeah, to your point. So, yeah.
Yeah, a little different animal. Guys are a little overly sensitive these days. You got to have a little more approachable method to talk to these guys. Yeah, right. A little oven mitts. You know, get them out there and make them feel better.
Yeah, for sure.
I know I dealt with a lot of that stuff when I was coaching in Lehigh there. Because the guys are so entitled that they feel like they've been drafted, they're in the minor league system that they deserve a spot with the big club, right? And
yeah,
they have a hard time understanding that. But, you know, long gone are the days of like fearing guys into playing. You know, you mentioned earlier, it's all about teaching and communication now. I don't think you ever see that strategy ever working again in any sport, let alone hockey. But
There's too much. The assets are too important now, and the money's too much. You know, investments right. that they make in players and. Importance of getting these young guys up quicker is extremely important. So you've got to figure out how you can get to him and push him up the ladder as fast as you like, boost him up from underneath, not just like grab him by the scruff and try and drag him up. You got to really
get yeah, right.
And so when they're ready, when they get there, they hopefully can stay for a while, you know, but it's, yeah. So it has changed and probably always for the better, you know? So
yeah.
You always wonder what guys would have, certain guys would have done better, you know, guys who cross paths with, like, you know, the way the game's played now or the way it's coached, a guy, you know, a kid that just got buried because it was in one organization, but a coach just kept a thumb over him. And, you know, if guys would have done better under certain coaches and not, you know, I don't know. There's always guys who had to, could handle that heat and other guys that really couldn't respond to it. So you wonder how many careers were really affected by it. I don't really think I was able to kind of get through that either, you know, anyway, but certainly emotionally, mentally, it takes a toll on you as a player. And you got to think a number of guys just couldn't get through it and let them down a bad road or whatever. So
yeah. For sure. Yeah. Well, you played for Torts for a few games, did you not, with the Rangers?
He was an assistant there.
He was assistant.
Don Tortorella was an assistant there.
Okay, all right.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Torts was, I thought he ended up being great. Now, he coached, when I was in Adirondack, he coached Buffalo's team, Rochester, and we were in the same division.
That's right.
And Torts was, you know, he's kind of a hard-nosed guy, and we were in his division. I don't think he thought much of me as a player, you know, playing against him, you know, against his teams were pretty good. And I don't know if he thought much of me, number 28 in Adirondack there or whatever I was. But, you know, it took a while. And I think in New York, and probably by like January, I considered him pretty good, like mentor guy, you know, a little bit, like a good personality and good friend. And we found some common ground. And then even for kind of went away, but even for a year or two after, you know, pass in the hallway or something, say hi to him. I think he moved on to Tampa. Did he move on to Tampa? He was
Tampa
for a while and kind of crossed paths, just say hello, chat for a second. And it kind of went away over the years, but ended up making peace with him a little bit. And I think we found a good respect, you know, as certainly his, you know, we respect him as a coach. And I think he respected me as a player. And so it was a nice little thing, because it was, I don't know if it was there that much, but we found it in New York. So
yeah.
I win guys over, man. I'm like a wart, man.
You do. You're an honest man. Well, the reason I asked about Torts is we had a few guys on that played for Torts, and, you know, I think most outsiders looking in, when they see, you know, they hear Torts' name, they think that, you know, probably a Keenan-esque type of stuff, right? But we've heard nothing but, like, great things about Torts, actually, like, you know, as a good human and, you know, like a legitimate teacher, and not, you know what I mean, outside of his antics on the bench, which I think the media obviously hypes up for good reason.
Yeah. So like Keenan, I know he went to St. Lawrence. I don't know if he had like an education background or something along those lines, but for sure Torts did. I think Torts wasn't scared to give you tough love, like you always felt like he loved, you know. I think the guys who played for him felt like he, you know, he cared, and, you know, he's just trying to make you better and stuff like that. So he wasn't, you know, kind of gruff about it a little bit, but not like crazy about it, you know, like you could kind of see that, he loves me anyway, you know, like,
yeah,
like that type of thing. I think that's what his players responded to. So I remember, I think in 05, he was like, we were in the Worlds there, and Ricky DiPietro was one of our goalies there, and we were like in Austria or something, warming up, kind of loosening up, hanging around the bench, and I think Ricky just signed his 15-year deal and was a pretty good player at that point, you know, like he didn't get started dinged up by injuries and kind of dragged him down a little bit. But, you know, Torts was very, he kind of knew where he stood with him too. Like, you know, and so this is a collection of USA guys. Like, so you're not going to like get mad at guys in this 2-week window. Like we're all kind of in the kumbaya, like we're all working together here.
You got
a team, and, you know, Ricky had a really big mouth and he would talk a lot of stuff. He's feeling good. He got that big deal. And we're loosening up by the bench, and you know, Torts is coming over. Ricky's like feeling good. He's like, Torts, you know, like, hey, what do you say? You know, like, get me off the island. And I don't know where he is there. I don't know where he was. I don't know if he's in the upper club. Get me off the island. Hey, man, I'll come to you, Torts. And Torts literally just as dry as he comes, he goes, not a fucking chance. And we're all just howling, you know. It's just like,
that is so Torts.
Like, just like one beat, waited two beats. It's like, not a fucking chance. It's just, you know, just stuff like that. We're all howling.
Oh my God.
And even Ricky didn't feel bad about it. He's like, you know, not even,
like, you know,
yeah. He's gonna say, you know.
Yeah, exactly. That sounds just like
it. Oh yeah. Awesome. So it's like just stuff like that. But you knew like his passion for the game, and even if you see it in the world, it's like his passion for hockey's there. So it's like, you know, you can taking some crap every now and a while if you know that. Everybody in the room is fair game too, you know.
So, right.
Yeah. Right.
And you know the intent, what he's trying to do. He's not trying to embarrass you. good coaches do that. They'll be hard on you, but they're not. They're trying to make their point. And, you know, you probably go after four or five other guys in that room too for the same thing. You're not the only one. So you just happen to be their target that day a little bit.
I was fortunate enough to work with him a few times with USA Hockey, Olympics, World Championship and stuff. And he was awesome. And World Cup as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's so passionate and so, I mean, you talk about an American, like, you know, his kids, in military. I loved being around him and listening to him. And you're right. It was funny. Like those are the dry responses. Yeah. Just right away. Just boom, you know,
and you know, he skated away with a little smirk on his face.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah, he sure was. That's awesome. Yeah.
Speaking of playing for the U.S. team, Noobs, I didn't realize you were born in Canada.
Yeah.
Little tidbit this morning. We were talking. I was like, oh, this guy,
he's
dual citizen.
My mom and dad were married in Michigan in Grand Rapids. My father's was Steelcase, which is like office furniture, headquarters in Grand Rapids. And then I think they have Toronto headquarters. So they spent 10 years in Toronto. And obviously the Leafs are the big thing in town. So it's kind of how got going at like 4 years old, is that's what you did with your kid. You took him to the rink, right?
And yeah.
You know, you kind of threw the football around or whatever till the snow started to fly. But, you know, that's what all the dads of that age and having young kids, that's, they went to the rink and took them to the rink. So that's, I have to credit kind of our start to that, those Toronto roots and stuff. So yeah, it does throw people off every once in a while. And, you know, so they did have my brother and I in Toronto. I guess that's the point. And we're there they were there for 10 years. I think we moved to the States when I was five. So
okay.
Pretty well grew up in Michigan, but yeah, that's kind of that little tidbit that you,
Yeah, threw me off.
Yeah.
Just thought, you know, all Michigan, you know, just Michigan Mike.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, from age five.
Noobs, speaking of Michigan, obviously your college years, you had some really good numbers. I'm not I don't know a whole lot about college hockey, but your numbers, your last 3 years were like that's pretty good for college numbers, right? Like you don't see a lot of guys with that many points, but I saw your freshman year. What was the difference between your freshman and then going into your sophomore year? Was it ice time? Or did you play with someone that, you know what I'm saying? Like, obviously you were a hell of a hockey player, but it just, there was a huge, like 27 more points your next year and then more the next and more your senior year.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, first year kind of, you know, we had some really good players in front of us that were, you know, aging out, and they had this, like Denny Felser was a player leading scorer in the country, and some more veteran guys that went on to sign pro deals. So you kind of had to wait your turn a little bit. And then college back in the day, the collective bargaining was really like, you didn't grab guys so quickly from college and stuff. They kind of let them go there. And a lot of guys went the distance. And Red Berenson at the time was very big about, if you're not going to go straight to the NHL, it makes no sense to leave early and go to the American League. That money will be there. Get another year here. We have good teams here. You're going to get better. We compete. You know, we're going to make the national tournament. And every year I was there, we made at least the national semifinal. So you knew we were going to be there. So, but to your point, kind of being a grocery stick, me and my roomie would be the grocery sticks, you know, in the first year and just kind of sit there. And I had like 15 points the first year. And then the next year, somehow, man, I got on the PP a little bit. And then it was like, I think we opened at Ferris State, which is an hour north of Grand Rapids, you know, in Michigan, a college there. And they were in our division, or in the Central Collegiate Hockey Association back in the day. We opened there and like, I killed like, I had a game with two goals and another one with three. Like I had five goals after the first weekend. It was just and then it was just like on, right? And so, you know, coach started playing anymore. And I mean, I think it was third line, but we had a really nice power play going with some veteran guys who played, you know, some real good players that played in the NHL and stuff. And so we had a real nice power play, a real good. And then, you know, things just kind of started to snowball and kind of, I probably, you know, figured a few things out and figured out how to play and become a better player. And, you know, it's always that, you know, you kind of figure your way and kind of how it goes. So yeah, and then I kind of took off and put up good numbers. We had some really good players. Like for my last 2 years, I mean, you know, like we had Marty Turco come in and then that, and my Brendan Morrison was my center, who had a real nice NHL career. I mean, we had you know, first rounders, Aaron Ward was a first round. I mean, we had a bunch of NHL guys go there. So I mean, it wasn't all my doing. Like we had really good players around us, and we were a really competitive team. You know, at that point, and so it was, you know, my numbers were great and stuff like that, and you know, I had a chance to come out after my junior year, but again, there was that 1994 lockout. So I wasn't really, you know, going to spend my senior year in Glens Falls, New York. I just, you know, I stayed back.
Can't blame you.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah,
so, can't blame you.
That would have been a huge FOMO. That would have been too much FOMO. I would have been about dying out there. So I waited till that year and then jumped into the American League and went off from there. So, but yeah, it was a great experience for me. Became a real scorer there and had some nice, good numbers there because at a play with really good players, that helped a lot.
Yeah. I figured me and Riley were talking before you jumped on. I was just like, now I don't know if it's the truth, but like nowadays, like some guys will leave early, obviously. I mean, you know, there's money there, your first round pick, but like I saw that I knew you had stayed for 4 years because we had spoken about it before, but you put up pretty big damn numbers there.
I think it's so much tighter now too. Those game was probably looser back then.
A little looser.
It's great to have those. Hey, numbers are, they stick with you, you know?
Yeah, right.
They stick with you.
Resume.
Certainly fun to talk about high numbers instead of low.
That's right. Yeah, right. That's right.
And then you were able to, like I say, carry that over into your pro career. 2 years in Adirondack. I believe your second year was the first of the two cups with Detroit, and you were a part of that. I guess you played 9 games or so.
Yeah, so like even going back to the American League, like I think I had 40 points that first year, and that'd be a huge year now. Like if you got a rookie with 40,
man,
it's great. You know, I think they were mad at me about that, man. Like that wasn't enough, and then the next year was going good, and I wanted out. I was wanted out of like Detroit had 62 wins, and I wasn't going anywhere, and I let go of my agent, picked up my agent that I ended up keeping for the next 16 years. And that second year, I was like a point per game guy and I couldn't get any kind of call. But so anyway, then I did. And then, so I got up there and that spring of 97, it was Detroit, Colorado. You remember when like Vernon?
Oh, yeah.
That was my first NHL game. And so,
wow.
That was certainly.
What the fuck is going on?
You're like, man, I thought I was out of the American League. It looked like a Friday, Friday night in Glens Falls, you know, but. That was certainly a really memorable game. And then they didn't send me back. I thought they'd go back after the regular season there and go back to Adirondack for the playoffs, but they kept me up there. And I had to ask my roommate to bring all my stuff up from Glens Falls, back up all my stuff and drive it to Detroit for me because I literally had no time to go back and drive it. So, that was nice in the day to pack all your stuff. I had Jeep Grand Cherokee, the Packer, and my stereo. And that was about it. And a big Gateway computer. I had a computer that was
Gateway.
That's about all the things. But and then they won in 97 and beat Philly there, incidentally in
Florida. That's right.
That really good Philly team. That was what? They were underrated or something, right? Didn't they finish like fifth or sixth in the conference or something?
I think so. And then you guys,
maybe seventh or something, but still you made guys the final, right?
Yeah. You mopped them up. Pretty handily. I mean, you guys had a ridiculous team. I mean,
Coach, you should have seen these, like, nasty D's. And if you ever go back, anybody who's a huge hockey fan, man, go check out some of these Detroit, Colorado games, man. They were unreal. They were nuts, like, hockey games. I mean, you have, like, 12 Hall of Famers playing. You got, like, it was, like, beautiful. It was nasty. It was dirty. It was awesome. It was like everything. Like it was man's hockey. Like it was man hockey game. I was a black ace. So I wasn't getting in, but that was a man's hockey game. Like, I mean, yeah, like Waugh, Shanahan and Foote and, you know, like Mike Vernon and goal and Lidstrom, Yzerman, Sakic. Like,
unbelievable, man.
You know, all the Russian guys we had, you know, and like Konstantinov and, you know, Kozlov, Fetisov, Federer,
Larionov.
Oh my God, Larionov! I mean, he started the whole brawl. He and Peter started the whole brawl that first.
That's right.
'26 game, you know, they started the whole thing. That the big incident. There, I mean, they had they had guys like Brett Sever, Mike Keane, tough. Adam Deadmarsh, like these are like men. Like it was like this was like you put your big boy pants on. You
went out
there.
Yeah.
Like there was some really really good hockey in. And those games were just battles. So even to get through the semifinal, to make the final against Philly, like you walked into the semifinal, you were limping out. Like you were coming out of there, you were paying a price, but you know, it was just mean.
Dogfight.
Like, it was insane hockey. So I just had another point on that, but I forgot. But it's by the time you got to the Philly game, you're lucky to be in one piece. Like, face is all cut up, your shoulders half hanging off. Like, it was just like, it was, you paid a price getting through there, that's for sure. So
yeah, that and it's funny, like, looking back, I remember watching all that. Obviously, I was in hockey at that time, and like, it could go either way with those teams. Like you said, so many great players. That was what you couldn't even, like, you just don't know what's going to happen. Right. And like you said, it just, everything in the game, like, beautiful, nasty, dirty, you know,
plays, like guys making plays. It was like a power. Yeah. Like, you're like, if you're on a fan, you're like, oh my God, this could be a 4-3 game. Could be 8-1. It could be 12 fights. I don't know what's going to happen tonight.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's going to be, it'd be really exciting to watch. So it was just a really good time in Michigan and Detroit. It was a real interesting time. And like, fans are nuts in the state here. It was just real good rivalry for the NHL, which was really
cool. It sure was. How old was Larry Onoff?
He was probably, I bet he was, you know, it's funny. I was just up in Traverse City. Like, we had a prospect tournament. I was playing golf. I happened to play with Eisenman. He was in my cart, and we were talking, kind of talking back in the day. He said he was 33, like, during all that. And so Larry Off was probably 35 or so, 35, 36 maybe, because he played it for
– Was he really?
Yeah.
Was he really? Because everyone says he's lying about his age. You know?
Yeah, like, true. Oh, yeah.
That used to be the thing.
Like the Dominican baseball player, right?
Yes, you know? Exactly. Danny Del Monte or whatever his name
was. Yeah. From in the Little League.
I remember first time I saw him, I was working with the Flyers with my dad at the time, and I got to go on a road trip, and my dad goes, how old do you think he is? I'm like, I don't know. Like, in his 20s. He's like, I think he's about 45, but he says, he's like, you know, like, I'm like, what does that matter? Yeah. You know, like, he's still good.
Yeah.
But I was just kidding. I just wondered if you believed his real age.
I didn't realize you were going with that question, but
but I was being serious. I was like, I wonder because people used to say that.
Yeah, that 97 year too, like, you know, we won. So like 3 days after, we're like, you know, like, we're partying and going golfing and doing the right things. You remember, and like getting limos. You remember those guys like Fetisov, Konstantinov, and our masseuse were injured in a limousine crash from a golf outing. And they were in my group. Like, I have a picture. Actually, my trainer in Grand Rapids here, our equipment guy, has it up in his room. Like, it's all of us. It's
the dog
and I in a golf cart. And that was, and then 2 hours later, they were going home, and then we're all catastrophically injured there. And so Petisov made it out. You know, if you could think of a 6-passenger limo, you know, kind of has the bench on the back and then kind of goes down the side and then curves around behind the driver. Petisov was on the right side, usually a bar there. He kind of had his foot up on the bar, and that saved him from flying forward, I guess, you know.
No way.
He ended up doing some hip damage, but it was more because, you know, his hip was on the bar, but that kept him from like flying forward, where the other two were injured really poor, really badly. So that kind of squashed that. So that Stanley Cup went whoop. It just in 3 days, it was just kind of, everybody was, you know.
And like you said, you're doing the right thing.
The right thing. Got drivers and nobody's going anywhere, you know, by, you know,
taking
care of each other. And then that stuff happens anyways.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Well, then the following year, you were full time, right?
I made the team full time, and then, you know, played probably, I don't know, what I played, 55 games, 53 games, stuff like that. And, you know, real good team. You know, again, you know, teams are built different then. You know, it's kind of like, even you think of the Flyers are quote unquote old, like these days with Drew and Couturier, they're, what are they, 32 or something like that. But, you know, the whole team was those guys, and you were sprinkled with young guys. And now, you know, the young core makes your team. And
you're
kind of sprinkling with some older guys who are still going. But it was a tough team to play every day on, you know, quite frankly, you know, winning the Stanley Cup and not changing too much roster-wise. So it was a tough team to play every day on. But I learned a lot from veteran guys, how to be a pro, how, you know, even if you're sitting out, you're not going to suck. You know, you're a young guy. It's part of the process. And there's good players in front of you. I guess you have two options: to either work harder, or, you know, ask for, you know, quit and go home. And you're not going to quit and go home, so you're just going to have to learn to work harder and suck it up and play. And so, and then they went again. They beat Washington in the in the finals, and I got a couple games in the playoffs there, I think, early, as we were healing for some injuries. But again, kind of that role of black ace through there, but still an awesome experience.
Oh, yeah, name's still in the cup.
Had a lot of fun, you know, a lot of fun. Those two black aces, man. We worked hard, but we had our fun too. So it was
good. There you go. Gotta have fun, man.
Like St. Louis, LA, Colorado, we're kicking around, you know.
Yeah.
In the finals, like they got into a thing like Joey Koser, Darren McCarty, and those. They kind of led a group that was. Their habit was to play golf the day before every match. So, or before every game, they have a golf match the day before.
Oh, cool.
You know, so in Washington, we get to go play Congressional, which is the, you know, where they've held the U.S. Open and stuff.
Yeah.
Fabulous course in Washington, stuff like that. So always, even though I was a young guy, I was always kind of with that group because I had a decent handicap and I could play with those guys.
Yeah, right. I was saying, good golfer.
Yeah. So I could hang with them. So it was good. Like those guys were great. They're still, you know, still friendly around, still around Detroit, still seeing and stuff. And they're always great to be there and great to be now. So,
yeah,
that's awesome. And talk about like you move on to Boston, and what it take you a year, maybe a year and a half, 2 years to get really going. You get on a line with Glenn Murray and Joe Thornton. I think that was really kind of like propped you up to your 30 goal status there.
Yeah, that was, took a while, right? So I was there 4 years and kind of coming through, you know, Mike Keenan. Got a chance. He played me every game, though. I think, probably didn't love me as a player, but played me every game, which was good. And then Robbie Fittore came in, didn't really love me as a player, nor did he care to play me every game. Kind of found that way. And so probably by my third year there, at the beginning of that year, well, you know, I think the line that was slated was Sergei Samsonov, who was a Calder Cup winner. Draft the same year as Joe. I think Joe went first. I think Sergei went eighth, something like that. And it was Joe, Sammy, and Glenn Murray. And then Sammy had some wrist problems. He had an injury with his wrist or something like that. And they tried everybody to play with these guys, to play with these two. And finally, it got around to me. And it was probably, it was probably toward the end of October, you know? So you think probably 7-8 games, you know, probably went by and stuff. I've scratched a couple times. So finally, you get to me and, I don't know, something really clicked and something went good. And even so, if those guys hadn't scored for two periods, I get the yank.
Yeah, right.
Gone,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Must be your fault. Must be my fault. They didn't score this period. But, so anyway, so then I took off with them and all of a sudden, like I had 30 goals, you know, and like, you know, I went from like a career high of like 15 in New York a year or two earlier to, and then back down to like 10, 12 a year and then popped up to 30. And it was just like, that was just like taking off like a rocket, like it just went, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, my career really started to change. And now, you know, you move from this cluster of players. Now you're associated with these guys.
Yeah. Right.
Now you get the benefit of the doubt as a player, you know, you're out there more often, more power play time, you know, you score more goals because you're getting better chances. You're still playing with great players. And you know, I can't, like Joel and Glenn are always like, you know, they're the two guys and even after that, I was lucky to play with great guys in Philly too and stuff like that. But Joe and Glenn were the catalyst of my second half of my career because I was 30 years old. And these days, at that time, I was 30. Like these days, that would be, you'd be like done. It's getting really young. So
yeah,
my career really started to take another direction from age 30 up, you know. And so Joe and Glenn were the guys that still to this day, they were the biggest part of that. And, you know, I can't thank those two enough because they extended me another 10 years in the league. You know, they got me
right
track, you know, and granted it takes work and luck after that, but those two shot me into a different like stratosphere as a player, and you know, that's pretty amazing, and took off after that. I had pretty real nice numbers for the next 10 years after that.
Yeah, you did.
It's funny, one of the coaches I forgot to mention too is Mike Sullivan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I know he coached, I think, 1 year anyway.
Yeah.
And it was so funny, we were in we did a world championship with Sully. And every day we'd go for beers and dinner, you know, after we were finished. And Brant Berglund, who was the video coach there. Yeah. So he's there with us. And he's the most intense video guy I've ever met in my life.
Brant.
I mean, intense dude. And I always kid around with Adam Patterson, the Flyers video coach. I'd be like, dude, you've never seen anything like this. I'm like, this guy's nuts. Like his eyes are like, but he's a great guy. I love me. We got along really well, but he was set. He would set up his video at the world. We're at the Worlds. We were in Moscow, and he would come in early, and I'm like setting the room up. I was pretty particular. I wanted everything to look right for the boys when they walked in, and he's in there. He's got his video set up, and he literally went to every stall and would sit to make sure you could see what you know his video. I'm like, look at it. I'm like, I thought I was fucking nuts. This guy's crazy, right? And just real intense. And he would always show me. He'd put these clips together. I did a highlight clip. I'm like, we played one game. How do you have a highlight clip from the world? You know, like bust his chops a little bit. But anyway, so we go out the one day, and out of the blue, Sully said, like, we'd had a few beers and feeling pretty good. And he starts kind of like, he wasn't bad mouthing the Bruins. He was just like, oh, I was so pissed when I was there. You know, like, you know, he was at this time, he's with Torts. I think he was an assistant with Torts.
Oh, New York. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, long story short, Brandt's sitting there. Now he still works for the Bruins, and he's not drinking. He wasn't drinking anymore. And so we're kind of laughing, and he's like, God, I can't believe we ever got rid of Mikey Knubel. That's just the straw that breaks the camel's back in Boston. I swear to God, I'm dying. Cause you're with us at the time. I think. Yeah, you were.
Yeah.
And I'm laughing. I'm like, oh dude, he's awesome. Blah, blah, blah. He goes, yeah. And we got rid of him in Boston. They get rid of him. You know, and Brad goes, Brad's sitting there, and he's like, right here. I'm sitting right here. I still work for the Bruins. And he's just going off. Yeah. One of the funniest things ever. Because Sully's got that loud voice. Yeah. He's got that loud voice. It was so funny.
Yeah.
I forgot about you playing for him. He's pretty loud, dude, on the bench.
Yeah.
His voice just carries. Like,
yeah, you know, he's got kind of a booming voice. And I always thought it was funny, too, like when came up from Providence, got that job. You know, now he's like with Teddy Donato. And some of his, and Marty McInnes, these are his buddies from like growing up, right? You know, they probably got in a little bit of trouble back in the day with each other, you know, shared a lot of beer and stuff. And now he's coaching these guys. So I just thought that was kind of a funny dynamic. But
right.
Yeah, Sully was good. And he's, everything he's happened in his career is, you could see he was on his way, you know. And so he was probably one of the first guys that, like, you know, you played against, who is now a coach. You know, when he played in Phoenix kind of during those
90s. Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
You know, he was like their third or fourth line PK guy and
a real
steady player for them. And so it was a guy you played against, and now all of a sudden he was fast-tracking up the ladder there and to be a coach. So, he was good. I mean, we had a really good – God, we have a good team. And, Brad, I know you're talking about that team. It's like we blew it. We were up 3-1 in Montreal and blew it in the first round. I mean, we had toughness. Like, I think what hurt us was Joe had a quiet, like, rib separation or something. He wasn't 100%, and that ended up screwing us up a little bit, but we had a really, really strong veteran hockey team and like a Stanley Cup worthy team, and just messed it up in the first round. Probably if we had a healthy Joe, it would have been all right, but he tweaked something like in game, literally like game 81 or 82, he pulled like a cartilage between his ribs.
And tough.
Now I thought we can get through the first round without him, and then it just kind of snowballed, but it was too bad. But Mike was a real, good coach to play for, you know. He
loved you.
He was on his way. Yeah. Well, I appreciate it. It's always great to hear that. So that's
awesome. He loved you, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think Brent Berglund loved you too, but he didn't what Sully was saying. It was like a sitcom. He's like, right here, Sully.
Yeah.
Right beside you. I still work for him. And he's just going off. He didn't even hear Brant.
Yeah. Brant always looked like he was about ready to fight somebody. It's the video.
He did.
Guy or what?
Like, yeah. I had him actually. I had told Adam Patterson all about him, like my 2.5 weeks with him, and like I said, we got along great. And I said, I told Brant, I'm like, hey, you got to do me a favor. You got to come down here and knock on the door and say, where's Adam Patterson, and act like you're pissed. Dude, you should have seen Patty's face. He did it. And he had that look. He's like,
oh man,
you didn't get that video. And Adam's like, what? And Brad starts laughing. He's like, nasty. Fuck. He's like, I embarrassed him a little bit. But Brad was awesome, but he was an intense video. Oh,
yeah. You had him all jacked up on 5-hour energy. I'm sure. And
I didn't have him, but he was intense, dude. I didn't give that man anything.
Yeah.
I really didn't.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah.
So your time in Philly, I mean, dude, just an absolute horse, man. Lit it up.
Yeah.
And you play with a couple good players here as well.
I know. Well, that's what, you know, that's how it works out, you know, that you get pushed with certain guys. And, you know, I think, my first year there to come in and, you know, play with Simone and Peter was a thrill, you know, and it's like, you know, the best thing that could ever happen to you.
So, deuce is wild.
Yeah, deuce is wild. Yeah. And I think Philly had come off. Yeah, I think that lockout year, what, Philly made the semifinal or something. So they felt like they were pretty close. Like Preams was the captain. And
yep.
He had a really strong year the year before, or that lockout year. And it kind of felt like they had a lot of these parts coming in. And you threw in me and a couple other guys. Like, I think, like, who was there? Jeff Sanderson and maybe, and Brian Savage, Turner Stevenson, a few guys. They had a couple more pieces. And
yep.
I thought we had – and they brought Hatch and Ratchie in and rule change and all that stuff. And I like that group. But, I know to come in and play for Hitch and get off to a really good start with him, which was great, you know, just to be on the good side of – that side and play with those guys was a big thing. And those guys put up points. Like, you did, you know, sometimes you're worried playing with like guys like that, like you're going to slow them down and that'll be like an off year for them because they played with you. Like, you know, like to have them keep going and stuff. There's pressure every night though. You know, and it doesn't, it's not like you ever, you know, you're playing with those guys. You're like, man, I can't screw it up for these guys, man. I gotta go. So it's like, you get wound up in that respect. It kind of keeps you honest. Like, you don't, you don't get up there and cruise, like, you know, you're like that close to losing your job all the time.
Right.
So, I think your first year, Gags had 47 goals.
Yeah. So we just got hot right away, and they were putting up, I think Gaggy had a nice year, and Peter put up a bunch of points. So you're keeping the big dogs happy, and, you know, you get the perks a little bit too. You get the benefits, and you get to go along with them. So that was certainly one of my more memorable years for sure, like coming to Philly and playing with those guys. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a fun time. I think there's a good fact that people don't know about Noobs, and it is, if Walk This Way comes on with Run DMC and Steven Tyler, this guy has that dance down rigs like nobody's business. He should have actually been in the video to do it with those guys. That's his go-to move, and it was amazing. If we ever heard that,
of it, Nest?
I don't. You must I have some should. Footage. I wish I did, but. I'll tell you what, Walk This Way, this Noobs has it down.
The irony, so that's funny. So funny you say that. So this weekend we're in Pittsburgh again. So Brian, you remember Brian Smolenski played for
Smoke.
So his boy Max is on our team. So I got these. So earlier this summer, I got these Stan Smiths, right? Those shoes.
Oh, yeah.
And they are just white. People are trying to be like, how are your shoes still so white? I'm like, I don't know. You're supposed to keep them white, right? So Smoke had. He walks in, he's got a different kind of Stan Smiths on, and his are glaringly white. So I'm like, Smoke, we're like Run DMC. And we start, I said, look at us, Walk This Way. Yeah. I mean, and then there are a couple people that appreciate it, but everybody else standing around, it's like, I
kids,
that's ironic you just brought that up.
It's like, the kids stood up. Know.
I just said that this weekend, like literally 3 days ago. I said, oh, look at us, Run DMC right here. Songs a little bit. Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious, man. I used to love that. Like we if we got to get out as a team and have some beers, I'd always get Noobs. We'd do it together a little bit.
That's the extent of my dancing right there.
Yeah, that was his move. That was his go-to. So after Philly, it was so weird getting to work with you for those years. And you go to Washington. Talk about weird. Like, we've talked about this with a few other people. I mean, because that was pretty good rivalry with the Flyers. And all of a sudden, big 22s on the other side. You're like, damn. You know, like, this is kind of weird. And you throw up 30 Gs, kind of shove it up our hoop a few times, I think. What was it like playing in Washington?
Well, yeah, it was like, I mean, going back to that, I mean, it was, you know, Homer was in a tough spot. I think you know, I was coming down. I was around that spring because the kids were in school and the cap was tightening up. And I think he had to get Karts and Richie signed, which, of course, you've got to get, you know, I'm 30, whatever I was, 35, 36, 37, whatever I was. And those are your, you know, your core guys you got to get done. So kind of was like the writing was on the wall. If you want to take less money, you know, and I was kind of like, well, I don't know if I'm in that spot right now or if I can do a little bit, but I'm not going to just, you know, sell my soul here. And right. I get that, you know, blah, blah, blah. And we were actually at a wedding in Long Island kind of toward the end of that spring. And then they made that huge move to get Pronger. And I was kind of like, looked at my wife and we're out on Long Island at a wedding. I'm like, oh, well, I guess that was like June 25th or whatever. I'm like, I guess that ends that, you know? And so they had spent a lot of money to get Chris in there, which rightfully so. They had a chance to get Chris Pronger. You're going to go get Chris Pronger.
Right.
So, you know, and so that was the end of that. But, you know, there was a case of not wanting to leave it. Just, you know, that's where the cap and
right
decisions that get made. So to go down to Washington. It was still a really good experience down there. I think we really enjoyed ourselves. Our kid, you know, like we made you know, lifelong friends in Philly, and we still stayed in contact with people in Haddonfield, New Jersey all the time.
Right.
I was just out there this summer. We were just out visiting for a while this summer. So it's a special place for us, and a lot of would have stayed in South Jersey if we didn't have as much family back here. We would have no problem leaving the kids in Haddonfield and growing up there. So it was a really good spot. But, you know, moving out of Washington, it was, you know, a chance to play with, you know, kind of be the older guy and be a veteran guy. And they gave me a good chance down there, play with OV and Nick Backstrom and, you know, Johnny Carlson and Mike Green. And you know, I think my first year down there, we won the President's Trophy.
Right.
And that was the year that Bush got you guys in, got Philly in, right? Last second.
Yep.
Right? I think you went to the finals, right?
We went to the finals.
So we won the President's Trophy, and they added Arnotts, Jason Arnotts, and Scott Walker. And
that's right.
You know, we were big, and we were tough, and we were heavy, and we had enough. And again, Montreal, 3-1 lead on Montreal. I was thinking Montreal got us again, you know, and after having a real good team and that year, and then a couple of good years after that. But that was the year that Philly went to the finals. And
that's funny.
And I'll be jealous there. Yeah. So,
That year, it's funny. You guys got upset, like you said, and it ended up being 7-8 to go to the Stanley Cup final. Well, the seeding wise, it's just crazy how, you know, you just got to get in, right?
That's what you guys, right? I mean, that Philly team was a testament to that. I mean, was it? It was like a shootout last day.
Last game of the season.
Whoever won made it. Whoever won.
Yeah, I think we were going to have like a little party, a little team event down by the water in Georgetown. And Megan and I were home, and I was just kind of finishing changing, getting ready. We played an afternoon game. We were going to go out that night. And I remember sitting on like a stool, like a, you know, ottoman or whatever, watching the end. I'm like, hang on, we got to see this. You know, and it was like you guys had played later in the afternoon or something, and it was to see you guys slide in that way. It was pretty, pretty neat, you know. And then to see you guys in the finals is obviously, of course, you're jealous of that, and you know, see your core guys, but you're happy for guys too. Even years later, leaving Washington, they won. You know,
I know,
you
know, right?
The 7 or 8 guys that you played with, you know, you're happy for them. You're kind of, you know, of course, you're mad you couldn't do it while you're there, but you knew they were going to get there eventually, and you're just not, you just got a little bit upset. You weren't part of the puzzle there. But.
Yeah. I always, I've said this a few times. I don't think Nick Backstrom gets enough credit, man. Yeah. I think that guy's an unbelievable hockey player, man. I mean, obviously he's unbelievable, but like, I don't think he gets enough credit. I think that guy's just a sick player. Yeah, Mike Richards said the same thing. Richie got to play with them there his last year. And he was like, dude, this guy's so good.
Yeah. I know. And it's, the guys you're playing with, and I mean, if you're on the bench, you're covering the team, or you're on the bench for equipment, you know, do equipment. You see them, you know, after you've seen them 20 games in your career, you're like, oh man, God, that guy's good, you know.
Yeah.
You know, he sticks it to us again, you know, like and that's kind of perfect Swedish guy, right? So that's how Swedes operate, where they kind of very content to just kind of be one step behind in the background and do their business, you know, GMs everywhere, you know, are like, oh, that's my guy, you know, that guy, you know, there's always somebody that's stirring the drink, you know, that quietly stirs the drink. And it's, you know, it tends to be in Washington's been Nick Backstrom. Ovi gets all the
hype.
Yeah.
There's no Batman without Robin there, you know. So
that's true.
What luck in their drafting that they got those two guys, like, boom, boom. And same with Pitt, same with Chicago.
Yeah.
Our 1-2 punch, you know. Being bad at the right time when you get a generational player
is so true.
It's an awesome thing.
Change your whole organization up.
Yeah.
How was it standing in front of that net? You owned that area, but having Ovi's clapper coming at you.
Yeah, you know, you never got the Widowmaker, you know, the one that you're like, oh, geez, you know, it's just kind of always ready to eat one, I guess. But, it takes the nerve. And I guess, I don't know, it's just you feel like if you start losing the nerve, but I always – you know, I probably had myself scared into not being there because, you know, you know how fast things can go sideways in your career and not disappear really fast. And so I felt that's where my bread was buttered, and I felt I had a little niche there, and I got my chance, my opportunity to do that. So, I guess you find a way to survive, you know, and there's different ways to play state of the game. And that was my way. And, you know, broke my jaw once from Eric Fair in Washington on a stupid angle, a puck he shouldn't have even thought about shooting. Sideways, right? Breaks my jaw and, like, got a plate in here. And, like, you know, so I guess That was a good one, but that was just a wrister, you know. I never got one of those like clappers up the middle that skips off somebody's stick around the spot. Oh, and you can just see it coming. All you can do is close your eyes and it hits you. You know, you think of the guys who play with coach named Johnny Stevens and Danny Biles was another guy I know, and they've gotten those hard ones right around
the
orbital, and it's
I was there when Johnny got his.
You know, and you're always kind of like, but it's just the nature of the business, and you got to have that nerve, and you got to be able to look that into the eye a little bit, and hope that, you know, kind of keep your fingers crossed. My wife didn't like that attitude.
She
didn't really care for that approach to the game, but I'm like, well, that's kind of how it's got to be.
Paying the bills,
it's funny, like in Philly on the bench where I would stand. I'm like directly behind Ovi because he's on that side of the ice. Right. And I think I've said this before. Like, I remember watching our defenseman, Nick Schultz in particular, always coming out and like this. And I'm like, I don't know how you do it, man. Like, and he lets that thing go. Sometimes you don't know till you see the water bottle go flying up if it goes in, or you hear ting off the off the glass.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's,
Those guys, I mean, they're trying to get in the way. I'm trying to get kind of out of the way. And then when you do practice with Ovi, you kind of get the idea after the first couple weeks, like, he's not sure where this thing's going all the time.
Richie said the same thing.
He's just trying to rip the cover off.
As hard as he can around the horn there.
He knows, like, where this thing's going all the time. It's, you know, it's not necessarily, you know, I mean, in a game situation, he's going, you know, there's no mercy. You know, in practice, he lay off and keep her down. Okay. You know, but even hard ones low, if they skip hit top of skate boot or top of stick, they come up quick, and you know, you're going to eat one. And that's
going to leave a mark.
Yes, that one's going to sting. It'll sting, you know. But that was kind of too, I knew, you always kind of, if you're a net front guy or a guy hanging around the net, you knew you were in the right spot. You start getting bruised up a little bit, and that's kind of you wear those marks. You're like, okay, I was in the right spot. You know, you're driving home or whatever. My leg hurts, you know, and you're like, well, I guess I was in the right spot, you know, a little bit. The adrenaline comes down. And now, you know, you roll into bed, right, Coates? And you're starting to feel it a little bit more because you're calming down and you're starting to be like, oh, I don't feel so good.
Adrenaline's out.
You know, you're kind of, you know, like, oh, that one stings a little more than I would have thought, or, you know, right? So, you know, that's again, you have the nerve, and that's kind of when you're in the moment of your career, and that's like all bets are off, and you're like, whether you got kids, whether you're old, young, like this, if you lose that nerve, then it's, you know, it's kind of like, you know, like poor Simone Biles went through a little bit this summer, like just kind of losing that little edge, that little nerve, and then it starts to get a little bit more difficult to get around the front of the net. You start to think a little bit too much.
Yeah, and that's usually when you get hurt, right? Playing cautious.
Yeah, exactly. So,
but you did a hell of a job there over over 1,000 games, and
jeez, great career, man.
Yeah,
well, yeah,
16 seasons.
Got me. You hope you can find a niche, whatever it is, as a player, that find something that everybody thinks you're good at, and try and then run with that, you know, and just try to keep that going, ride it as long as you can, right? So
that's
just
it.
Career's a wet towel. I tell these young guys, I say, your career's a wet towel, and you sit there and you wring it and you wring it and you wring it. And you try and get everything you can out of it because it won't last forever. And so
that's right.
Good analogy.
Go and you go. Yep. You bring it when the towel's dry, then and that's it. You know?
That's it.
So that's the way it's going to be. So just keep bringing. But
right on,
you were able to play a long time, man. And you're an unbelievable pro. You're such a fun guy to be around. And you always treated us like so well, and just a good man. So I'm not going to pump your tires anymore.
Good pro,
but for real, no, for real. Like, seriously, great pro, and just a good dude.
And we have lots of, I mean, it's funny. I've run into guys who were in Washington, who's in Philly. Like, there'll be older guys in the American League now, and they're like, oh, it was a call up in Philly or wherever. And you know, I was injured, or it'd be like a guy who's down there and injured, and you sat and talked to me, and like, you know, I was just strolling for the training room, just say hi, shake out, you know, put out your hand, shake their hand. You know, Matt Ford was our captain.
All right. Yeah.
Here in Grand Rapids. And he came up through Washington. He was a young guy and injured in Hershey or whatever, came up, and they were trying to take care of him for a couple of days in Wash to get a good look at him. And, you know, just rolling through the room, he stopped and say hi. I forget. There was somebody did that in Philly right here. Just came through Grand Rapids. Just maybe
Tristan Grant, maybe. You play with T-Bird.
Oh, Granner was here. Yeah, no, Granner was here. Granner's still here at Grand Rapids.
T-Bird.
Yeah. But just little things like that. And it's, you know, you forget, and it comes back around. So it's like, you know, just being good to young guys, because you were a young guy. And it meant a lot to me when I was a young guy that the older guys talked to me.
Yeah.
And now it became the guys that you wanted to be. You know, I wanted to play long enough so my kid could run around the locker room and they could, you know, grab a stick out of the trash and whack a tape ball around with so-and-so and guys mess with them.
Yeah, right.
It's stuff so like beautiful. That. So you kind of remember that stuff on the way up. And, you know, you'll be, you know, you might be up on top of that ladder, but you'll be on your way down soon enough. And it's, you know,
so
it's
true.
Just have a good, they'll say hi to the young guys and shooting breeze with them for a couple minutes, ask about them, where'd you come from? You know, what are you doing here? And hope you feel better. And even if it's a couple minutes, it's,
right.
Yeah, it's big when
you're a lot.
Oh yeah, it means a lot for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and I hope players realize that these days, you know, the guys who've been around, man, it's stop and just sit down. Even at those team, you know, those lunches in the room, you know, you can just grab a plate and plop down and you're just, you know, eating lunch for 2 minutes on your way out, just shoot the breeze with the kid and, you know, just ask a couple questions and, you know, it's, they remember that stuff and it's good because the guys did it to us on the way up. You gotta return,
right.
I don't know. That's kind of my take on it. So
yeah, it's meaningful. Very meaningful.
Very meaningful.
Yeah, treating your staff right and being good. Players are pretty good to their staff, but some can be demanding, you know, for not having much clout. They certainly act like they do sometimes. Forget that you're working
for somebody.
They don't work for you. They're
yeah, right.
Part of your team. So yeah. So
that's awesome.
But I appreciate those words though, Nancy. It's always
good. Yeah, of course, man. That's the truth. It's the truth. Not just
Yeah.
You're always a fun guy to be around and just a consummate pro and treated as well.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Glad I was able to work with you, man.
Yeah.
It's awesome. We really appreciate your time today.
Man. Yeah, absolutely. It's nice to reconnect.
Make sure you say what's up to my boy, Dog. Your equipment.
That's my boy.
Love him.
D-O-double-G,
yeah. D-O-double.
Yeah, he's still he's still kicking and still going good.
Oh, yeah. Love that guy. How long's his beard? Has he shaved that thing down yet?
Cleaned it up though. A training camp, a rookie camp last week.
Oh,
I said, man, you got it tight. So it used to be like out like this more.
Yeah.
Now it's a little more like this.
Okay.
More streamlined. So he's going good, man. He's still he likes to pack. You know, he likes to pack. You know, he's got a concealed permit. Loves to big. He loves to. Yeah, good stuff like that. Big softball player in summertime.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's gonna be a Dog the Bounty Hunter, the new one after he's done with the equipment.
He looks like it. He looks like the toughest guy, and then you talk to him, you're like, "Hey, Nasty, that kind of guy."
Hey, Ross, he's a big dude. He's just a big teddy bear, man. Just the greatest guy.
Got a Harley too. Like he's got a Harley. So when he rolls in, and he's got that little bucket on, he's got the beard.
He looks like a full-on biker.
Yeah, oh, man, you're like, that's an hombre I'm not messing with, you know?
Yeah, and then he goes, hey, what's up?
Hey, what's up? Hey, great. He's been here 25 years.
Oh, yeah, right. Man. Yeah.
That's
so happy when you guys won that he was able to win. That was awesome.
That's great.
Yeah, he's a real good person. Like he
is.
He has a good BS meter on the young guys. Like, he figures them out pretty quick. And
yeah,
it's real good to the people in the stands, the lifelong fans here and stuff. He's,
that's awesome.
He's a good people person for sure.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
That's cool. Awesome. Well, appreciate it, Noobs. Get back to the empty nest there and take care of some business.
My grass like a good old guy.
Oh, that's great. Gotta do it for you. And you guys have practice today or did you already have it?
They're up in Traverse City still.
Okay.
I come home for a little bit. Like I said, I was in Pittsburgh, and then I think they might have an exhibition like right here. Oh no, they're still in Traverse for another day or two. Then they'll break and go to Detroit. I may have a couple of them there, but sometimes I like my freedom too much. So,
I don't. I can't blame you.
They'll be back here like early part of October. They'll be back in Grand Rapids.
Okay.
Then we get going. We get going a little bit more in October here. So. Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
Good luck. Good luck this year.
Yeah, we'll enjoy.
Yeah, thanks, boys. Thanks. I really appreciate having me on my show, man. I was listening in April, May, listening to some of your broadcasts. So it was great. I appreciate you guys getting me on.
This
is great. Man. Appreciate you.
Thank you, brother.
All right. Hit us up if you're ever in Haddonfield or Philly area, man.
Yeah, please. Absolutely. Absolutely will.
We'll get you in the studio.
Yeah.
I know. I'd love to. Yeah. Digs.
It's my garage.
It's my garage.
Smoke and
we
mirrors,
call it
baby.
The studio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, my man.
All right. Take care.
Thanks, right. Noobs.
All right. That episode was brought to you by SettleMyerSkateSharpening.com for all your hockey needs and the best grind. in southern part of New Jersey, visit SettleMyerSkateSharpening.com or at Nasty's Pad and BodyCheckWellness.com for all your CBD, functional mushroom supplements. Check us out at BodyCheckWellness.com. And a big thank you to number 22.
Yes.
Mike Knubel hopping on with us.
Awesome.
Nice to reconnect with noobs.
Yeah, it sure
is.
So
I'm at the golf tournament this summer, but great to actually talk with him at length and see how he's doing.
Yeah, looks like man.
He's doing well.
He does. He looks good. He looks good.
Really good.
He's golfing all the time. He's trying to act like he's so busy. Yeah. You know, a guy just came off the links or his head.
He looked like he just came off the links.
There. He did. He did.
Fresh white golf tee and
oh, just crispy.
Yeah. But yeah, what a guy. He was a great teammate. Hell of a career.
Yeah.
Harder play 1,000 games in the NHL and do some grunt work around the net like noobs did. I mean,
whew. You know, his body, I should have said something about just the beating he used to take. Cause like he played, like he was saying, it was a men's game. It was a man's game.
Yeah.
Like the beatings he used to take in front, but he stood there and did it. He was a hell of a player.
Yeah, no doubt. One of the best around the net for sure.
I was the place to pay. Yeah, that's true. That's true. But right,
he paid the big bucks.
Yeah, he did. And to play that long.
Yeah, right.
You know, like
16 seasons, a lot.
That's a long time, man. Four full seasons of college, I mean, 4 years of college, and then played that long. That's pretty impressive. And you know what surprised me about it? As you and I were talking, like all the coaches he played for, man, he played for a lot of big name coaches,
old school,
man.
Heavy hitters,
old school. That's pretty cool. I never realized that. You know, I guess when I was working and you know, with guys, I never really thought of something like that.
You
know,
you'll pay a whole lot of attention.
Kind of in the moment, you don't really just know who your coach is. But good grief, looking at all those names, Hitch and, you know, Pat Burns, Bowman.
Yeah, right.
John Muckler, man. I would have thought he was a bit of a nutball. He seemed like it in when he was in Buffalo. I remember when I first got the league, there were just rodeos every night. They had Brad May, Rob Ray, you know, Barnaby running around like an absolute donkey, exactly. Which I loved. Yeah. I loved, you know, fighting Eric. I'm like, what is this guy doing? There's something wrong with this dude. Fighting Big E and laughing and smiling, getting just absolutely pummeled. But Keenan, I wasn't even thinking about Keenan in Boston. Jeez. Yeah. Man, he had some heavy hitters, man. And Fatoric, too, as well. So it was cool to catch up with him and hear some of his stuff. I wish we could have got him to do his little dance. But
yeah, right. Next time.
Next time.
A hell of a career, you know, and interesting, too, when you start your pro career. And, well, you got credit for, well, one Stanley Cup, but he was involved in two Stanley Cups right out of the gate in your pro hockey career. And then usually it's the other way around when you're chasing it from behind and, you know, looking towards, you know, your career into chasing a Stanley Cup. But funny how that works. But anyways, he got one.
He sure did.
He was a big part of that team, you know, in a more of a role-playing type of role. But nonetheless, he got a Stanley Cup and part of two teams there. So pretty amazing. Props on him and appreciate him coming out and talking with us because I know he's busy.
That's cool, man. He's such a smart guy. And obviously, really, you can tell by the way he played the game. He was like we said, he was a true pro. But they, you know, I hope they realize what they've got there with him. You know, I know it's an assistant and it's kind of a part time thing, but man, he's got a lot of knowledge and.
Oh, yeah. And he's a really good communicator. He's one of those guys I remember looking back at, like, you know, Noobs is just like, you know, just a regular guy that loves hockey that, you know, that just like, pretty prim and proper. Like, you know, he liked to goof off and laugh, but like, you know, he was a pretty simple guy.
Yeah.
But lots to offer, you know, the young, you know, up and coming talent because there's so much. There's just so much unnecessary energy around a lot of those players in those situations that I think, you know, Noobs is a pretty humbling guy that, you know, could just have an honest conversation and bring these guys back down earth a little bit, you know. And,
exactly.
In a simple way. So,
yeah,
he's got that knack.
He does. He's awesome.
Right on, Nass. Well, right, that wraps up episode 42. Thanks, Noobs, for hopping on.
Noobie Noobs.
Check us out next week for episode 43. Until then, stay safe, knuckleheads.
See you, knuckleheads.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.